Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, October 15th. It is 10 o'clock on the button. We have a quorum present. We're going to call this meeting to order. Item number two is to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number three, which is the Pledge of Allegiance. If you can all stand up and join me.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You can always take any of the items over to me if they're wrong. Thank you. All right, on to item number four is public comment. Public comment is welcomed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to the matter to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment is again welcomed after each item on the agenda. And those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. As a reminder, public comment is 3 minutes long. With that said, do we have any public comment in the courtroom today?
Morning, Commissioners. I'm Adam Wilson. I'm addressing you as the boys' middle school football coach for Virginia City Middle School. And I just wanted to put out the first time in program history that boys' team is undefeated. And we have our last home game. It'll be Saturday, October 26th, here at home at 1 p.m. at the high school field. And it's going to be versus Tonopah. They are also the Muckers. So it's a Mucker Bowl. It's the first time we're doing this, and they're going to be playing for a shovel. So we would love for people to come out and support the boys. They've worked really hard this year and are just doing amazing. 1 o'clock Saturday, October 26th. And that is all I have.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment in the courtroom today? All right, not seeing any, we're going to move on to item number five, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for the October 15th, 2024 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about the agenda?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, I'm good, thank you.
All right, County Manager, are there any changes to the agenda?
There are none.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the agenda and the items contained within? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's meeting agenda as presented.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number six, which is our consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about today's consent agenda?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
I'll second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number seven, this is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And we're going to kick things off with the Sheriff's Office today.
Good morning, Commissioners. Eric Kern, Undersheriff, for the record. I would like to advise everyone that on October 23rd at 9 a.m. at the Lockwood substation on Canyon Way, we're going to have a coffee with a cop event. We're going to have another one on the 24th at the Senior Center at 9 a.m. There will be cops there. The sheriff, myself, maybe some of the undersheriff, sergeants, deputies will be coming in and out. And basically, it's just for community members to come in and talk to the local law enforcement, answer questions, meet them. So we invite anyone who wants to attend. That's all I have.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chair?
Eric, just to confirm, the one on the 24th is a senior center up here?
Negative, that's gonna be Lockwood at the Sheriff's
Lockwood
substation.
As well.
Yeah.
So
23rd is Lockwood, 24th is a senior center up here.
Senior center up here, thank you.
Both at 9 a.m.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks. Up next is the Fire Protection District.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. A couple updates for you. We've begun the process of acquiring an additional D7 dozer from the Nevada Division of Forestry. This unit is donated at no expense to the district. It will be positioned on the north end of Story County, so that way we're able to have two dozers sitting in the Highlands, which is one of the state's largest WUI interface areas, and one in the north end of the district. So that's going to greatly enhance our protection capabilities. So we're pretty excited to get that. Additionally, several members of the fire district will be attending an appreciation event this evening hosted by Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District and Washoe County. It's held down in Reno at the ACES Stadium. It's to just show appreciation for the Davis Fire. This is open to the public, so anyone and everyone who would like to come, it starts at 6 p.m. tonight, and it is free of charge. It's about an hour long. And lastly, this Thursday, the 17th, from 3:30 to 6, the Fire District, in partnership with the Sheriff's Office, will be conducting a car seat safety check at the Virginia City Community Center. And I'll take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief. Just to confirm, the BCH Community Center or the...
Yes, Virginia City, right down here in the
gotcha.
Community Center.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for the Chief?
No comments, thank you.
Vice Chair?
No questions, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Moving right along to Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations Projects Coordinator, reporting for Director Wierzbicki. Item one, freeze is coming up Wednesday night. Winterization of buildings and parks is wrapping up. Snow removal equipment is now all ready. Salt and sand are being delivered today and tomorrow, and the F600 has been fitted with a plow and a sander. We now have an account with Equipment Share, which gives us access to additional equipment as may be needed during extreme events or equipment breakdowns. The small snow blower for the skid steer has been delivered. Fleet Services is getting it ready for use. In Lockwood, on Perry Ranch Road, there's some drainage issues there. We've been gathering elevations and developing plans for how best to address a poor drainage issue there at the bridge by Canyon Way. Once we have a plan to address that, we'll be working with Canyon GID, Planning Department, and LCC to implement that, that repair. Last item is on Director Wierzbicki. Following his shoulder surgery, his arm has been immobilized, strapped to his body for the last several weeks, and it's going to remain that way up until about the 30th. After that, he anticipates returning to work on or about the 1st of November, and we look forward to his return. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Mike?
No questions. Thank you, Mike.
Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. You want to jump right into operations and projects coordinating? Coordinator?
Yes, sir. Mike Northen, Operations Projects Coordinator. Starting off with the Lockwood Senior Center project. It's currently running very smoothly. Building pad has been completed, corners have been staked, and the footing excavation has already started, apparently. I thought it was going to start this week, but they're a little ahead. Work on the slope is ongoing. CME has been observing the work and monitoring the in-place density and fill soil quality. That's been very nice to have. Item two, the traffic signal at Electric and Milan. We met on site with the designers to review the 100% plans. We had a few changes to address drainage, equipment locations, and equipment protections, and also to discuss preemptor types. Those changes are being made, and I am working on the bid documents now. Fuel tank and pump replacement project. Those bid docs are at about 90%. Have been sent to legal for their review. Water tank maintenance contract. Those bid documents are at about 75%. I'm continuing to work on those. And I'll be meeting with some contractors this week to get some quotes on widening the sidewalk at 800 South C, which is the IT and Justice Court and Divide Fitness building, to preserve the accessibility of the sidewalk when cars parked up against there. We need to get it wider so we can maintain an accessible pathway. We'll also, while we're doing that, we're getting pricing on the flagpole and some vehicle barriers for the south and west side of the building to protect the building itself as well as some related equipment without impacting snow removal. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Appreciate the update.
Thank you.
Moving right along to our Business Development Director.
Good morning, Laura Mather for the record. So I'm not going to give a staff report. What I would like to do is brag about the county and our county staff for a little bit. Last week, I was in Las Vegas for the National NAIOP Conference. That's the National Association of Industrial and Office Parks. That was a large conference of people from all around the United States that work in all capacity of real estate and development for industrial and commercial parks. There were quite a few people from Northern Nevada, and I was able to meet a lot of people who have worked directly with the county or even in a distant capacity in working in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Everybody that I spoke to that found out I work for Story County couldn't wait to tell me how amazing of a team we have, how Story County has created this this economic and business development environment that they absolutely love. Contractors love working with us. They wish other counties did everything the way we do, made things run smoothly, get everything going for the businesses. And even more so, they specifically pointed out Pete and his community development team, what an amazing job they do, how great they are to work with, how they're team players, how they go out of their way to make sure everything runs smoothly out there. So, you know, just a huge, frankly, congratulations to Pete and his team for doing an amazing job, and people coming up to me and talking about their relationship with him and his staff was really wonderful. I mean, I've always been proud to be an employee of Story County, but I'm pretty sure I walked around 10 feet tall after hearing all this great comments about our team, and again, in particular, Pete and everybody at Community Development. I also talked to one person who is one of our, a company that does some of our special inspections for us. And this gentleman talked about how his company has 75 employees. Their whole existence is because of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Mm-hmm. And having that work for them, specific to that industrial center. So it's one of those companies that we talk about that's not in the industrial center. They're not driving on 80 to get to the industrial center, but their whole existence is because of the industrial center. And he also talked about working with Pete and the community development team. And so I just thought it was really important for me to talk about that because it was just really cool to be there and to have people come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, you're part of Story County. Let me tell you how that has affected my business and my work world. And that's the end of my report.
Great report today. Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
My comments are I'm lost for words. This is just the best kind of a report ever. And we've always known and very proud of our team in Story County. And it basically is every department that we've all had the pleasure of working with. And there's an esprit de corps in Story County that just can't be matched. And, you know, I've heard it said, well, we want the formula. What do you folks follow? How do we do this? And the bottom line is, well, you'd have to hire every individual in Story County and recreate that because it's the people. It's not the formula. And it's the cook in the kitchen that makes it work. And gosh, we're also grateful for the team that surrounds us. They make life pretty easy. Thank you so very much for that report. Very much.
Thank you.
Indeed. Vice Chairman?
Yeah, nothing further. Thank you.
All right. Again, appreciate that. Moving right along to our planning department.
Good morning, Kathy Canfield for the record. So I just wanted to put out there that we're still seeking applications for the at-large planning commissioner position that we still have open. And this Thursday night, our planning commission meeting will be looking at chapters 3, 5, 6, and 7 of our master plan update. And so we'll just be having a discussion item at that, but the community is welcome to attend those and give input. And those draft chapters are up on our website now. So thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Kathy?
No, thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, thanks.
All right, appreciate it. Moving on to emergency management.
Morning, Commissioners. Adam Wilson, Director of Emergency Management, for the record. A couple of updates. We've been working with the school district on active shooter trainings. We did a run, hide, fight class for all student, or for all staff, teachers, district staff, and we're going to be holding reunification trainings, which is how we get the students back to parents following an emergency or disaster. So those will be ongoing every Friday when they have a early release day at the schools through December to improve our processes and our joint operations between the county and the school district. We'll be out with the quads on Thursday for a hazmat drill. We're going to be supporting Carson City for the Nevada Day Parade with our mass casualty incident trailer. Yesterday, we got our Starlink system in, which replaces our old satellite phone program, which was very expensive and not very usable. So we began testing that Starlink system, and it's already just night and day better and saves the county a fortune because it's a pay-as-you-use rather than a flat rate every month. Reminder for this Thursday also, 10/17 at 10/17 a.m. is the Great Nevada Shakeout. It's the national earthquake drill, and in Nevada we all participate, so we'll be sending a message out over our Ray of Alert program at 10/17, just reminding people to practice that earthquake safety of drop cover and hold on, and then afterwards look around your office space, your homes, and see what you could do to better improve your earthquake safety. Bear and mountain lion sightings, lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, are up at night up here right now. There's been 3 bears and 3 to 4 mountain lions spotted in VC at night almost every night. So just a reminder, if you're out at night, to be cautious, and if you do come across them, you can report that to NDOW. And then finally, weather. Active weather returns starting tomorrow. Today is our last nice day, so we could see some increased winds and rains tomorrow. And then the biggest impact is going to be Thursday into Friday. We could even see snow here in VC overnight and hard freezes. So make sure your pipes and pets are ready, and winter is coming. And that is all I have.
I would say thank you for your update. Should have passed by you this week, but thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Adam?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Begrudgingly, thank you for the update. Moving on to the Virginia City Tourism Commission.
Good morning, Commissioners. Todd Tuttle, Director of Tourism. For the record, of course, all things Haunttober, we want to welcome you to Virginia City and the many things that happen as a result of it. We do have a number of media events that will be going on, both live television interviews and a number of morning news spots that will be happening up here, so we're excited about that. We have quite a number of tour groups that will be arriving. Biggest little journey people will be coming in this week. Journey Tours will be here. Good Times Travel will be also here. So we're seeing quite an increase of bus traffic that's coming up to Virginia City again, once again. Quick review on the Merchant Mix and Mingle, which was held October 8th at 6 p.m. at Piper's Opera House. Had a very strong turnout as we had the Nevada Small Business Office here to take information, gather prepare for some answers. Nice feedback from the merchants as those were in attendance. Our next mix and mingle will be November 12th there at Piper's Opera House at 6 p.m. That is a Tuesday, the second Tuesday of every month, as we try to hold it consistently. Great turnout for the 35th World Championship Outhouse Races, which is held October 5th and 6th. 23 entries, and a wonderful time was had by all. The tech inspection that was held on Friday, October 11th, for the Virginia City to Tonopah cross-country off-road race turned out to be a great success. We had quite a number of turnouts, and that particular event is growing quite strongly. Coming up in Haunttober, not only do we have the many activities with the haunted houses, a new one will be in Delta at the Delta Saloon, but there's also to be held at Gold Hill Depot, also down at Mackey Mansion, a number of other places throughout town, so a lot of things happening. One addition that we've had is the haunted hay wagon ride operating from the parking lot at Delta Saloon all the way down to the cemetery. The cemetery has been working with this particular vendor to be able to access all the way to the back of the cemetery and around, which has been met by some great success. We expect that to grow quite extensively as we continue on. Spirits Made Me Do It Saloon Crawl will be October 26th. And then on the 31st for Halloween, of course, we'll have the costume parade at 5 o'clock. And right after that will be the safe trick-or-treating there on C Street. So be prepared for that. As we approach November or get into November, Saturday, November 2nd is the Statehood Ball, be 7 p.m. to 11 o'clock at night. Renegade Orchestra will be performing. We have a full dance caller. There will be tickets that are available on the website. We will have the tintype photographer that will be there once again as we had last year. And this year we've added something a little different. We have a bone-throwing fortune teller. So if you've ever wondered what the future holds for you, you can find that in the bones that will be thrown in front of you to find out. Virginia City Tourism will be attending the Governor's Conference on Tourism October 29th and 30th. We'll also be at the National Travel Association in Huntsville on November 17th through the 20th, and the American Bus Association in Philadelphia, February 1st through the 4th. Next year, the ABA will be here in Reno, and we hope to get a really strong foothold with those bus groups and those people that are arranging bus and group tourism back here to Virginia City. One big special note. Travel Nevada has awarded the Carson Valley, Carson City, and Virginia City area a special grant to help develop our arts and cultural aspects. That grant amount was $630,000, so that will help promote art and architecture and tourism here into these particular areas. Special thanks to Erica Perry with St. Mary's Art Center. She was instrumental in helping get this thing off the ground. So that's all my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Commissioner Gumman, do you have any questions or comments for Todd?
I do not. I appreciate the report, Todd. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman.
No, thank you.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you.
How about our grants manager?
Sarah Starts for the record. So I just have two grant updates today. So we were recently awarded roughly $107,000 from the Commission for Cultural Centers and Historic Preservation, and that's through the State Historic Preservation Office. This is a state bond program, so those bond sales will happen in November, so hopefully by January we'll have a funding agreement. We'll be able to start on that project, and that is to replace the front doors at Piper's Opera House and the south-facing windows. And then the other one is an update for our federal appropriations. I'm just going to read the email to make sure I don't miscommunicate anything. So the House and the Senate Water Resources Bill are headed to the House and Senate negotiations to finalize the differences in each bill. So the cost estimates for the proposed projects are largely aligned, but they need to address the number of feasibility studies and changes to smaller water projects. So Congress's goal is to include this Water Resources Bill in the fiscal year 25 defense bill. And so this version of the Water Resource Bill includes $10 million for Story County, and that will be for us to complete that lead siphon project. So originally we had to split that project out into five phases because it was difficult to find funding for $12 million. So we're working on phase one right now, and so hopefully with this awarding of the $10 million, we'll be able to finish that project. And that's all I have.
Great, great news. Thank you. Commissioner Gumman, do you have any questions or comments for Sarah?
No questions. Thank you.
Ms. Sherman?
So, Sarah, does that mean we get to recombine those phases, or in other words, we're looking at doing the whole project at this
point? Yep, because originally we were going to do it in five phases, and we were going to try to use the state revolving fund, and that's through the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection. So, yeah, now we'll just be able to combine it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yep. Wonderful.
Thank you again. How about our comptroller?
Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller. I'll keep it short and sweet. I just wanted to update you on the audit. We are on track to be completed on time. I'd like to think that we're going to be done with the audit and have it presented to you early, but that might be wishful thinking. On time is just as good as early for me, so that's all I wanted to let you know.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gumman, any questions or comments for Jennifer?
I do not. Thank you, Jennifer.
Vice Chairman?
Good to go. Thanks.
Thank you. How about our Health and Community Services Department?
Good morning. Stacey York for the record. We will be celebrating Halloween week at the Senior Center in Virginia City with Spirit Week. Each day will be themed differently, so check our Facebook page to see what we're wearing for that day. It will end on Halloween with a Jeopardy, and it is themed dress as your costume and get extra Jeopardy points. So, Clay, I know you've been to Jeopardy. Let's see your costume. I'm in the process of finalizing a grant. It's called the Shelby Project. It is about $250,000. And includes a body scanner for the jail and two community health workers. That is to combat the opioid epidemic that we're facing. And in November, we will be rolling out a grant for pet care and pet food for seniors. So please pay attention to Facebook again for more information on that. And that is it.
Thank you, Stacey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Stacey?
No questions. Thank you, Stacey.
Mr. Chairman?
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. How about the recorder's office? All right, thank you. How about our IT department?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Some completed projects I'd like to bring to your attention. The wiring and the internet at the Mark Twain Community Center is completed. They're now on the county's network. They got a firewall. It'll improve voting. Community services down there, Wi-Fi is all set up, so that building is complete. Camera projects at the main sheriff's office at 205, the Lockwood substation, and the jail have been completed. Tim Shropshire and John Dietrich have completed the state NCGIS background check upgrade. We're one of the first agencies in the state to complete that, so I wanted to give a shout out to Tim and John for knocking it out of the park. Our 10 gigabit Cisco routers are arriving tomorrow, which is kind of good timing because we have another large event going on tomorrow. Those 10 gigabit routers will be a future-proofing upgrade for this county. It's literally going to increase our back-end speeds by a factor of 10 between our buildings and town. So that's a expensive and large upgrade. And also, Public Works completed road access to the wastewater tower, so now my staff doesn't have to drive through the treatment plant and open two gates anymore. It'll just be one gate. It'll make it better for my vendors and staff to just get up to that tower. Some staff reports. Tyler Dacia completed his A-plus certification, so congratulations to him. Riley Beckwith has been promoted to Tech 2, so congratulations to her. And we have hired a network security administrator, Jeremiah Huff. So I'd like to welcome him to the team. Highly skilled. We always take security very seriously, but now we've got a full-time dedicated position to really keep eyes as we continue to grow. That's all I got.
Great. Thank you for that update, James. So I'm assuming nobody will get emails anymore asking for gift cards for the commissioner?
Never. It'll never happen ever again.
Great news. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for James?
No questions. Thank you, James.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update, James. How about our administrative officer?
Good morning. Lisa Missel for the record. Just a very quick update. The parcel adjacent to the county jail at 935 State Route 341. Escrow was opened up yesterday with Tycor Title, and I will be managing that through until it's complete.
Wonderful. Thank you. Commissioner Gumman, any questions or comments for Lisa?
No questions. Thank you, Lisa.
Vice Chairman?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update. How about community development?
Thank you. Commissioners, Pete Renault for the record. Just a little update on our search for code enforcement officer. We had some Zoom meetings yesterday with six of them. I had 37 applicants, 10 really strong ones. So we're asking four of them that we didn't interview yet to see if they still want to interview. Out of those six yesterday, there's three real strong applicants that we're going to start doing in-person interviews next week with. Other than that, business as normal out in the park, never stops. So I'll take any questions you have.
Awesome. Thank you, Pete. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for Pete?
I do not. Grateful and thank you, Pete.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update. How about our PR officer?
Good morning, Julia Moreno-Fritz for the record. I have a couple things to talk about today, but the first of which is a new billboard project that we're going to be launching. We have finalized a creative concept. We've secured a location with Lamar Advertising, and we're currently working on finalizing the contract. Our goal is to maximize visibility and impact for our messaging during the 2025 legislative session, with the billboard scheduled to run from February to May. It will be strategically placed in South Reno, ensuring that attendees traveling from the airport to Carson City for the legislative session will see it. So I'm really excited to have that rolling. And then secondly, the Board of County Commission meeting e-blasts will resume, and I'll be taking them over. They will look a little bit different, but that is the big thing.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Thank you for the update. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for Julia?
For questions. Thank you, Julia.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. How about our DA's office?
I have no update today.
Thank you, Brian. What about the county manager's office?
Thank you, Chairman. Commissioners Austin Osborne. Just to let you know, as an update to Piper's Opera House and the request for qualifications that has gone out, we are in the process of doing interviews. There will be an interview that will occur this week. And if the respondent is able to pass that step, then we'll go over to the facility with our public works team, look at all the ins and outs of the building and really what's involved, and then we'll go to the next step. So just to give you and the VCTC an update, as well as the community, that process is moving forward to try to get that into a 501c3. And then even at that point, there'll be several months of transition if everything goes potentially as planned. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Austin?
No questions. Thank you, Austin.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Austin. How about the Clerk Treasurer's office?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Hindle, Story County Clerk and Treasurer. We are, as everybody is probably anticipating, we are beginning early voting this coming Saturday, the 19th. Early voting will take place in the Slammer downstairs Saturday from 10 to 2, as well as Lockwood Fire Station number 74 from 10 to 2. We will then be open in the Slammer for early voting Monday through Friday the following week from 8 until 6. We will have early voting then again on Saturday the 26th in the Slammer and Lockwood. And then the final week of early voting will conclude on November 1st, Friday, November 1st. So as we're working through all that, I know we've had lots of cooperation from various departments. We thank everybody for helping us out, the fire department, public works, IT, in general, everybody's very cooperative in letting us get set up there. But we're working feverishly to get that all ready to open on Saturday morning. We also want to highlight that people have received in the mail, residents, registered voters of Story County, a voter registration card and signature update card. Obviously, it's created some confusion with the signature update card. We've been trying to address that. It was a contentious issue between the office and the Secretary of State. It was the Secretary of State that sent those out. People who want to update their signature are more than welcome to do that. We recommend that they don't mail it, but that they come into the office or have somebody bring it into the office, since that postcard return provides some personal identifying information along with a signature, and that's just ripe for corruption and abuse. Any questions on that, please call the office. That is completely voluntary, so if people are concerned, they do not have to respond or do anything in follow-up from that card that has been received. We've also, mail ballots went out on September 26th. We've been getting lots of calls of missing mail ballots. Again, because it goes through the post office, and I'm not taking a shot at the post office, but that's out of our control. That is always a concern. But people who have not received their mail ballot by this week, please contact the office. We can cancel the one that was sent out and reissue one if someone wants a new mail ballot, or we can provide them with an opt-out form if they don't want to receive mail ballots in the future. So again, contact the office and we will take care of people whose mail ballots have been missing, and we've been getting quite a few of those. And then last but not least, just so everybody is on the same page, as we conclude election early voting, Election Day is on Tuesday, the 5th of November. At the end of Tuesday that evening, we will have a preliminary unofficial results report, because from Tuesday through Saturday the 9th, mail ballots that are postmarked Tuesday, Election Day, have the opportunity to still be arrive in the office and be counted. So then we have until, it should be by statute Monday, but because Monday 11/11 is a federal holiday, the final day for ballots, mail ballots with missing signatures or signatures that need to be cured or other provisional voters that need to update a record in order to have their vote counted, they have until 5 p.m. on the 12th to cure their ballot or their registration so that we can count their vote. And that means that sometime, and I'm working with the county officer, county manager, to set a special meeting of the Board of Commissioners between Wednesday the 13th and Friday the 15th to canvass the vote. The vote must be canvassed by 5 p.m. the 15th. And so I know that the county manager has been working on that. On the day of the canvass, when that gets scheduled, as a result of the canvass, we will have a final and official result that would be posted at that time. That's it for today.
Wonderful. Thank you for that update, Jim. Just wanted to confirm the voting schedule and times is on the webpage, your webpage, right?
It got a little corrupted, so we have to upload it again. Okay. But we will have that on the webpage. The county PR officer has been very cooperative in getting that out through social media. Okay. And so it's also available, I believe, Julia, on social media.
That's right.
To be there.
Yep. Thanks for the reminder. I actually saw that the other day. Great. Thank you, Jim, for that update. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Are there any other departments that I did not call on that have an update for us today, or any nonprofits that are here that want to give us an update? All right. Not seeing any. Thank you, everyone, for those updates today. We're going to get back to our next agenda item, which is... board comments. Start off with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing new today, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
I don't have any specific comments, thank you.
All right. I just wanted to bring up, there was a meeting down in Lockwood on Friday. Their communications department puts out a meeting once a month for the folks in Lockwood, the LCC and Rainbow Bend. I was asked to speak down there that month, kind of give an update on what the county can offer its citizens. Just wanted to thank the sheriff and the fire chief for coming down. Also, Pete Renaud did a little talking down there as well. I had about 40 folks. County manager was there. It was just good to see the community out interested in what services that they might not be getting from the county that we may be offering. So very good turnout there. I wanted to thank those folks for coming down. Other than that, we are going to move on to item number 9, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the schedule of project revenue and net revenue for the TRI public-private partnership for fiscal year ending June 30, 2023, and the payment to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center LLC in the amount of $5,734,107 towards the infrastructure liability. Comptroller McCain.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
Landscape I'm going to recuse from discussing or voting on this item, as I hold a pecuniary interest in the Tahoe Regional Industrial Center, LLC, and so I will not join the discussion or vote. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Jennifer?
Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record. Unfortunately, I'm Connie Christensen from Christensen Accounting, who completed this audit, is not able to join us this morning, so I will do my best to answer any of your questions. As stated, this is an audit for period ending 6/30/2023. As of 6/30/2023, our total debt is $28,107,738 from a beginning balance of approximately $43.5 million. As stated, our payment for the current year is $5,734,107. This will bring this account over budget $1.5 million, which includes the payment to Dermody Properties, which was approved last fiscal year for the current fiscal year. The payment was made in July of $781,101. This is a, we're getting better at projecting what the payment could possibly be, but as our revenue continues to grow faster than we expected, we plan a shortfall. We don't plan a shortfall, but I kind of expect to see one, so I bump up the payment. Unfortunately, in the budget this year, I didn't bump it up high enough to cover both the TRI payback and Dermody. I'm confident that by the end of the year, we will be able to supplement this fund and we won't have any issues. We've had a change in the audit. With our agreement, we have a stipulation four, which is to calculate some extra streams of revenue, which include centrally assessed taxes for our gas and electricity payments, as well as other utility fees. Over the years, this has not been anything that has been calculated, and it was supposed to begin with the year ending 2016. Unfortunately, gathering this information from external entities has proven harder than it should be. So there was an agreement this year between the county and TRI and the auditor to use alternative method of calculation so we can try to get caught up a little bit while we continue to reach out to these external entities and gather the information needed. So what happened with the centrally assessed is there was an average taken of all the percentages from the different areas, and she used a 1.55% to calculate the amount due, which I had that on the wrong page. And that total for years beginning 2017 to 2023 totals $28,275. We also have utility fees, and she used a method similar to how she calculates the sales tax. She used an average of 10 years for the total fees collected through 6/30/2016, then allocated 80% of this increase in fees each year over that base amount. This totaled, through 2023, $850,869, which $841,000 was attributed to the years 17 through 21. It's important to note that the inclusion of these additional revenue streams does not increase the amounts that we owe. It merely changes the timing of the payments. Our payments are based off of our revenue within the TRI project, and it's limited to 35% of what's over, which was a base net revenue. This year, our net revenue that the payments were calculated on, for example, was $15 million. Last year, we calculated this payment off of $11 million. So those are estimates. I can give the whole number if you want the whole amounts. That's all I have to say, unless you have any other questions on this audit.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions or comments?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Neither do I, Jennifer.
Okay.
Is there any public comment regarding item number 9?
For the record, Hugh Gallagher, this is no reflection on Jennifer. It would have been nice if we had the auditor here. The auditor usually comes when we do our financial statements for the fiscal year ends, because I would have some questions as to why the averages. But I also wanted to make I made a comment during the audit periods for the 2024-2025 fiscal year, in which the fire department was not allocated any project expenses, although they were receiving project revenue from Story County. There hasn't been an explanation, and I would have liked to have that explanation for at least my records anyway. So again, no reflection on Jennifer, but I would have liked to have known that, and I would still like to know that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
Can I comment?
Please.
I just want to comment for Connie. We had this scheduled during our exciting meeting. I did not realize when I put this on the agenda that today is tax day for anybody who filed extensions. So that's why she's not here. I'm sure if anybody has any questions, she would be happy to take a call, or I can put you in contact with her. And again, as for the fire department, fire district no longer being included in this audit, please reach out to me if you have any questions. I'm happy to explain the situation.
Thank you, Jennifer. All right. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion at this time?
I am. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the schedule of project revenue and net revenue for the TRI public-private partnership for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023, and the payment to Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, in the amount of $5,734,107 toward the infrastructure liability.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer. All right, on to item number 10, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 24-750, a resolution requiring the county assessor to prepare a list of all taxpayers on the secured roll in Story County and the total valuation of property on which they severally pay taxes be posted on the county website instead of the newspaper of record. County Manager Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Austin Osborne. I am speaking on behalf of Assessor Janice Seddon today, who was not able to make the meeting, so she asked me to cover this for her. Also, I just want to note that Brian at any time may want to come in and correct anything I say with regard to tax roll. Basically, what you have in front of you here is a resolution that would allow this board to post the tax roll and notifications on the county website in lieu of the newspaper for the reason of saving funds and other reasons. And it's my understanding that this is the fifth year that we have done a similar resolution, and this would be a continuation of that practice. I'm happy to answer any questions you have, and also I think it'd be appropriate that I read the resolution into the record.
All right, thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman?
No, I don't have any questions, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Would you like to read the resolution into the record?
I'd be happy to. So it's on the top there. It is a resolution 24-750, a resolution requiring the Story County Assessor to prepare a list of all taxpayers on the secured roll in Story County and the total valuation of property in which they severally pay taxes.
All right. Thank you. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution 24-750, a resolution requiring the county assessor to prepare a list of all taxpayers on the secured roll in Story County and the total valuation of property on which they severally pay taxes be posted on the county website instead of the county newspaper of record.
Back to the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Moving on to item number 11, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to direct staff on the ways, means, and oversight of the implementation of the Commercial Property Assessed Clean Energy Program, also known as CPACE. Laura?
Thank you. Laura Mather for the record. So I apologize for reading off of my sheet, but I have a lot of information to go over, and I want to make sure that I don't miss anything. Upon the Commissioner's August 20th, 2024 approval and recommendation for staff to proceed with the implementation of this Commercial Property Assessed Clean Energy Program, staff began receiving requests to move quickly through the process so businesses in the TRI Center can take advantage of the funding. Although Story County has proven to be business friendly and can move quickly when certain aspects of business development, the implementation of the CPACE program must include legal reviews at every stage to ensure compliance and program success. Given the complexity of the process, it is important to understand that thorough legal oversight will require sufficient time to address various legal, regulatory, and operational aspects. I have a list of some of the things that the county will need to implement as we move through this process. Story County is required to develop a program guide to provide a clear, comprehensive framework for all stakeholders involved, ensuring that the program operates efficiently, consistently, and in compliance with NRS. Some of the decisions that the county board of that the Board of County Commissioners will need to make are, one example would be charging an application fee that goes to the county. Clark County charges a set $2,000 application fee. Although this does not cover staff time, it helps encourage applicants to be ready for the process and not waste valuable county resources. So they've implemented this fee to make sure that when a company does start the application process, because it's going to be very costly for the business, that they're actually ready to go and have everything in line to start that process. The City of Sparks has the following language in their CPACE program guide. The following fee shall be collected at closing by the program administrator to offset its cost and the city's cost associated with administering the program. A one-time program administration fee equal to 2.6% of the financing amount, not to exceed $75,000 per financing, is applied to each qualified improvement project. So they have this language in their program guide because they have not yet had a CPACE application. So that language is in there, so when they get their first CPACE application, they can start tracking city staff time, and then they will base their fee off of that. Another decision will be to set a minimum or maximum funding amount. So although NRS limits the program to 35% of a CPACE loan for new construction and 25% for a rehab project, the city or county can set limitations within their program guide. So for Clark County, a minimum assessment allowed is $500,000, and the maximum amount is $50 million. Now, exceptions can be made for this, and the reason why they set that $50 million amount is because they want any applicants who are requesting funds over that to go through a waiver process. And they do that because they want it to be public. They want their county officials to be aware of programs that are over $50 million. So bringing that before the board makes it public, it allows for discussion, and makes that process transparent. So kind of on the other end, the City of Sparks does not set a minimum or maximum dollar amount. They leave that up to what is specified in the Nevada Revised Statutes. For the application process, the application process for a business is significant, including each step of the process being reviewed by the third-party administrator and county staff. The first step would be a project interest form. Now, this is to ensure that the project is within the district that is specified for the program and that the project is actually eligible for the program. Step two would be a project pre-application. Now, this is if the county decided they wanted to charge a fee, this is where the fee would be charged and go into effect. With each application, the business is required to do an energy audit or renewable energy study or water efficiency improvement project analysis. This will be a study in what the project, how it is energy efficient, how it is green energy, and how it will be saving money in the long run. There's also a labor statement that is required. This is the estimated number of apprentices, local labor, and non-resident labor that will be intended to be used in the project implementation. The Board of County Commissioners Chairman will sign off on a voluntary assessment agreement. With that, when that agreement is signed, then there is a sign-off on the assignment of the assessment and lien and notice of assessment lien. And then it goes to the application process. So county staff is also recommending that we go out for a request for proposal. So staff will issue an RFP to find a CPACE third-party administrator, ensuring a transparent, competitive, and effective selection process. An RFP process provides a fair and transparent method for selecting a third-party administrator by openly inviting qualified firms to submit proposals and demonstrating its commitment to an equitable selection process and avoid potential conflict of interest. The RFP process allows the county to set clear criteria in evaluating the expertise, experience, and qualifications of potential administrators. Then the staff will draft two resolutions, one implementing the program and one designating the area. The county's designation of the area for a CPACE program is crucial because it defines the geographic scope and eligibility for participation. This decision directly impacts the program's effectiveness, accessibility, and alignment with local development goals. So what I've gone over is just a few of the considerations that the county, the county's legal team, the Board of County Commissioners, the county manager will need to consider when we implement this program. As you can see, it's a lot to consider. My goal was to be transparent myself in what we need. And so with that, county staff highly recommends that we certainly not drag our feet, but take the time that's necessary to make sure that all of the documents that we are required to prepare and have available, that we know are clearly aligned with the county goals as well as NRS requirements. And that's the end of my report.
All right, thank you, Laura. Anything else, Austin, right now?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the question. So I'm going to ask Laura a question that I know she has an answer for because she's put a tremendous amount of work in looking at the background of this program and looking at different counties and cities, not only in Nevada, but across the country on how they handle CPACE. And if I'm right, Laura, there's kind of two ways you can go on this. One is follow the default and let the vendors pretty much go for it. Whatever vendor runs it, they handle it. The county's mostly hands-off. The county would not be responsible for what happens with a vendor, but it's my understanding that the reputation of the county and the county's overall image on how it handles these sorts of things could be affected. And that the other option is to go what Laura is suggesting here as a recommendation. It's kind of like a Clark County model where we look at a lot of the work that they've done working with legal to get it to tie into how we do things and have a little bit more structure to the CPACE program, where the vendors would still be involved, they would administer it, we'd still go through an RFQ, find the right folks, but the county would be making sure that there's enough resources and structure in place to make sure that we're reviewing those applications and looking at all these different elements, just a little bit more structure. Did I miss anything, Laura, or did I summarize about right in what you were saying? Thank you.
Yes, Laura Mather for the record. Thank you, County Manager Osborne, for mentioning that, and I should have mentioned that as well. I think one of the most important things for us to consider is, regardless of how much time the county chooses to put into this, our name is on it. So our name is on this program. By calling this the Story County Commercial Property Assessed Clean Energy Program, we are saying that we have our name on it, and we are supporting this program, we are confident in this program, and we are putting it out to the businesses, knowing that it is going to be successful and safe for them to consider applying for this program. And yeah, there's basically two ways that we can go about this. You know, again, I'm receiving requests to move through this within a couple of months, to move through this very quickly, because there's, frankly, a lot of companies out there that will be making money off of these loans, and they'd like us to move quickly. They've even offered to provide us the information so we can just sign off on it and say, run with it. But again, I think one thing to think about is, if that were the case, is the Board of County Commissioners comfortable putting their signature on something like that, that we have not thoroughly vetted and been a part of the process?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments right now?
Well, I certainly agree with Laura. I'm not ready to sign off on the program, carte blanche.
Okay, thank you. Vice Chairman?
I'm not too worried. It's just the chairman's signature, right? I'm just kidding. Laura, could you get really specific with us about what you're asking for today? What specific guidance or what? There are kind of a lot of moving pieces, and I think you took us through kind of the main pieces of that, but I just, from a procedural perspective, from a process perspective, what specifically do you need at this point?
So I think, to be blunt, I'm asking for the commissioners to have my back. So when I get the phone calls that say, why is this program not up and running? The world's going to come to an end. You know, we have to have this now. I can say,
Jay's number is 775-691-0251. I'd be glad to handle that call.
I can say that county staff, the county manager, the Board of County Commissioners, and our legal department want us to take whatever time that is required to fully vet this program, to make sure that our guidebook that we are required to create, and that guidebook is created based on our interpretations of the NRSs. So what I'm asking for is, again, to have that backup, that the county is asking for time to make sure that we are comfortable putting our name on this program. I have been asked to give a timeline. I've been asked to give a timeline of when I will have a timeline. I just can't even imagine placing a timeline on it at this point, because there's so much to go over. Our district attorney's office, who is obviously very busy at this point, is going to need to review lengthy legal documents in addition to creating some of the legal documents that we will have to use. So I'm asking for the commission to give me permission to tell the callers to give us time to do this program correctly. And when they call you directly, because I don't give them the right answer, to say Laura's correct.
Let me ask a question. Do we have the opportunity to just cancel that motion we did months ago to approve this? I'm dead serious.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, for asking that question. I think, well, I'm going to summarize a little bit what Laura's talking about in this. And, you know, she's done her work on this. And we're not saying the CPACE program is good or not good. You know, we did have that agenda item in the past, and we gave a recommendation. And, you know, where we are, I think what Laura's saying at this point and what we're saying as staff is to proceed forward with that motion and to support the CPACE program that may be a good program, that we like some structure to it. And like I said, there's two ways we can go, a little bit of vendor-based and a little bit with structure-based. And what Laura's really asking for in a motion here is just allow staff to go ahead and say, yes, we really want more structure. We want Story County to be more in that area. We support direct staff to move forward with looking at a model like the one you see in the pack at the Clark County model, if you want to say. Work with a district attorney's office. There's lots of steps involved, so they won't be able to just drop everything they're doing and go jump and create one document and this thing's up and running. There's some things that need to be done if we were to go with the, we'll call it the Clark County model. It's going to take a little bit of time. We don't know how much. We're going to keep moving on, and we're not going to drop the ball and get to it when we get to it. But it's really just kind of get direction from this board. Where do you want to go? Do you want to kind of make it nimble and simple and make this thing move forward like some counties and jurisdictions have? Or would you like to be a little bit more on the cautious side with that last motion, with some discussion that happened in that last meeting of maybe some benefits and maybe some potential pitfalls or unknowns with the program? Now that we're here, we think that the motion we're recommending would say we recognize the benefits of the program and we want to create a structure to prevent any unknowns or unintended consequences. We think we can move to the next step in that direction and save the program, move forward on that while also protecting the county.
I totally appreciate that, and I'm very clear on what Laura is looking for at this point. My concern is that, you know, personally, my vote is that we take as much time as we need to feel comfortable putting our name on it. The real question is, if we decide this is not worth it for some reason, can we go back and retract that motion and not participate in this program?
I'm going to give a non-legal opinion, and then I'm going to look to the DA's office. I believe that there was no application involved in this. It was simply a program that the board could revisit that item at a later time on an agendized item to reconsider. Are we correct on that?
Yes, you are correct. It would have to obviously be a noticed item
and
present on the agenda, but you would have the opportunity to revisit that issue and decide if you want to continue on the path that you originally decided. So yes, you have that ability.
Thank you. My concern is that we'll tell them, right? But these people at the end of the day really don't care. They want to process these loans and hurry up and get the money in everybody's hands so that they can move forward. I don't want to bombard our departments because all of a sudden we're now under pressure from half a dozen companies that want to get this money. And all of a sudden we got to put everything on hold to address this because she's getting bombarded weekly, biweekly, whatever the case is. That's the reason I asked that question, because as we venture down this road and spend time that I'm sure we're not going to get reimbursed for. Legal review time, I don't think, is going to get reimbursed. But, you know, I want to make sure that we aren't going down this road and we can't turn back at some point if we want to. Because as far as
Mr. Chairman, if I may?
Yes.
If I may, I join you in your approach in this effort. I believe that history will show that I was not in favor of supporting this program when we considered it in the past meetings. And I've been concerned about it. And I certainly wouldn't recommend that we move forward without a thorough vetting of the project and at our time and convenience. But I would want to know that we have absolutely the ability to say, no, we're not going to participate. And I've had concerned feelings about this from the get-go, and they haven't changed as of today. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
May I add something?
Yeah.
Laura Mather, for the record. So two things. One, I certainly didn't, my intent with my report was not to do a fear-based report or anything like that. But it was very important to me that, because I feel it's my responsibility to make sure that everybody is clear on what this program is going to require. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are great loans out there that have done great
green energy programs for buildings. But I strongly feel that, again, we are putting our name on it, and mm-hmm. for us to continue is that we take our time and do it the right mm-hmm. way. The second thing is, I am not concerned at all about the calls that I'm getting. I can be very assertive. Mm-hmm. I can be very blunt and to the point. I have no problem doing that with these companies that are calling me. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that it's okay with you guys.
100%.
That when I say no, and then they start calling you, that you're aware of it. Because mm-hmm. I feel I will probably need to do that. And, you know, I can do it be very professional, but I can always mm-hmm. I can also be very blunt and to the point. And I do feel that this is a program that the county can implement, again, if we take our time and do it right mm-hmm. and not bend to these requests of hurry up and get it done.
Mm-hmm. I totally get it. You're very capable. It has nothing to do with you fielding phone calls. It has to do with just the constant harassment. And, you know, at the end of the day, we got enough things to worry about. I'm off the soapbox right now. Vice Chairman, do you have anything to add right now?
Yeah, I think as I'm listening and thinking about it, you know, one of the representations that I feel was made when we considered this item to begin with was that it wouldn't necessarily take a lot of resources from the county. I think what's becoming clear to me now is we could do it that way, but that kind of leaves us hanging in the wind. And if we want to make sure that we're doing it right, it does take quite a bit of resources from the county. And that's not anyone's fault. I think that, or maybe it was. Maybe that was intentional from the proponents of this program to push it through. And so with that in mind, you know, I'm happy to give whatever instructions are helpful. I guess one of the questions that I have is, at this point, do you need some guidance from us, Laura, on some of the specifics, like the application fee element, minimum and maximums, the RFP, I think that's included in the motion, but, or are those things where we can give you the recommended motion and you can go ahead and consider those things and give us a recommendation when you come back with it? Or do you feel you need some guidance from us on those specifics as you start putting together the guidebook and preparing RFP and resolutions and things to establish the program?
Laura Mather, for the record. So my plan is, based on your recommended motion, my next step would be then to start working with legal and go over existing CPACE program guides and basically start going through that process and taking each step of each of the many steps of our program guide to go through it with county staff, because planning is going to be involved, community development, fire inspections, the assessor, big time, because they are going to be, there's going to be that assessment and lien, the comptroller. So my plan is to start meeting with staff, going through the book, and working with legal, and then having kind of everything together for the board to consider, so that I'm not here once a month with, okay, this is this step, this is that step. So what I'd like to do is have the best draft that staff can create based on each of our departments and what we do, and then present that to you. And then at that time, make those final decisions on, do we charge a fee and how much will that be? Do we set a minimum or maximum and why and what will that be? So that is my plan.
Okay. So you don't necessarily feel like you need specific directional guidance on those areas at this point?
Correct.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you.
All right. I am going to add just two cents. You don't need the opinion, but I would say when you get to that point, I'm definitely all for fees. That we got to try to recoup something back from this. So when you get to that point, but, you know, to answer your original question, you have my full support. Take all the time that you need to make sure this is not going to come back and be something that we regret later on down the road. So with that said, are you guys good if I go to public comment? Is there any public comment right now about this? All right. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion right now, or do you want to discuss this further?
No, I'm happy to make a motion. I think I think we've been able to express our concerns on the record. I think that provides some backing, if you will. I'm totally of the same mind of you and Commissioner Gilman that if this thing gets away from what it was originally represented, to bring it back and look at, is it even worth going down that road? Totally open to that conversation if that's the direction things go. And so I'm happy to make a motion.
Wonderful. Please.
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve staff to proceed with implementing the CPACE program in accordance with the data and methodologies researched and recommended by staff. This will include developing a comprehensive guidebook, issuing a request for qualification to select the most qualified program administrator, and drafting two resolutions, one to establish the program and the other to designate the program area, and working closely with the district attorney's office for legal guidance in developing the program. I further move that staff take whatever time they need to do these things.
I'll second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
On to item number 12, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to award the Virginia City Highlands $10,000 of the community project funding for fiscal year 24-25 to extend existing concrete pad approximately 1,500 feet at the Pinion Park, located in the Virginia City Highlands. This approval is contingent upon an appropriate quote from a contractor and or business that is in good standing and has a business license in Story County. Sarah.
Sarah Sertz, for the record. So this is the Community Project Grant Program, and this was developed to assist our communities with projects that will benefit and enhance the lives of all community members. And so for this grant, the county is divided into four areas. So we have the general Lockwood area, which is Lockwood, Mustang, Painted Rock in the northeast, and then we have the Lago Marcina in the Highlands, then we have Gold Hill in Virginia City, and Mark Twain. So each of these areas can apply for up to $10,000 each fiscal year. And so for this round of funding, I just want to note real quick that the county did not receive any applications from Lockwood or Mark Twain. And so the county received one application from the Virginia City Highlands, and that was submitted by Grace Higashi Pizzuto and team members. And so, yes, they are requesting that $10,000 to extend the concrete pad by roughly 1,500 feet under that gazebo that's located, some people refer to it as Pinion Park. Our website refers to it as the Virginia City Highlands Park. And so the community project funding committee that's comprised of Drew McPherson, Laura Mather, me, and Jennifer McCain. And I just want to note that Jennifer recused herself from this interview as she is one of the team members listed on the application. But the committee reviewed this application, and we are recommending it for award contingent upon that appropriate quote from a contractor or business that is in good standing and has a business license in Story County.
Wonderful. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I just want to express my appreciation. I know there's work involved in putting these applications together, and so my appreciation of those in the community who took the time to do so.
Thank you. Is there any public comment? Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I believe I am. Just a second here. All right, Commissioner Mitchell, moved to award the Virginia City Highlands $10,000 of community project funding for fiscal year 2024-2025 to extend the existing concrete pad approximately 1,500 feet. Is that 1,500 square feet? At Virginia City Highlands Park, 2141 Empire Road, Virginia City Highlands, Nevada. This approval is contingent upon an appropriate quote from a contractor and or business that is in good standing and has a business license in Story County.
There's a motion. Do we have
second
a
second? Second
motion. All right. Thank you.
Second.
So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sarah. Item number 13, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to award the Virginia City Mighty Mites the requested $6,525 of the community project funding for fiscal year 24-25 to purchase sports equipment for their sports program and the remaining $3,475 to purchase equipment for the lighting of the V on the hill in Virginia City. Sarah?
Again, Sarah Sturtz for the record. So this is that community project grant again. So this is to award the community project for the funding of the Virginia City and Gold Hill area. And so the county received four applications from this area, and they are the Culture Building Project and the FYI Tags Project that was submitted by Alexia Sober and team members, then the Mighty Mites Community Athletic Program Equipment that was submitted by Clay Mitchell on behalf of Coach Jason and Brittany Alvier and team members, and then Lighting the V over Virginia City that was submitted by Anthony Jones and team members.
Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry for interrupting. Mr. Chairman, given that I assisted with one of these projects, I feel it's probably appropriate for me to abstain from discussion or voting on this item.
Noted. Thank you. Go ahead, Sarah.
So these four applications totaled $31,525, and like I said, there's $10,000 available for this area. And so the Community Project Funding Committee reviewed these four applications, and given the scope and the funding restraints of this community project funding, the committee recommends awarding the Mighty Mites that $6,525 that they requested to purchase sports equipment for their sports program, and then that remaining $3,475 to purchase just the equipment for Lighting the V over Virginia City.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments?
I don't have any questions. I support staff request.
All right. I don't have any questions. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Since we're going to mix things up here, bear with me while I pull up the motion. Do you? Yeah, thanks. All right. So not seeing any public comment. I, Jay Carmona, move to award the Virginia City Mighty Mites the requested $6,525 of the community project funding for fiscal year 24-25 to purchase sports equipment for their sports program and the remaining $3,475 to purchase equipment for the lighting of the V on the Hill in Virginia City.
I'll second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Aye. Thank you, Sarah. Thanks, Ben. All right, on to item number 14, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval, authorizing the county manager to approve and sign a contract between Story County and Caseworthy for serve tracker for data and service tracking for aging services agencies for 3 years in the amount of $30,911. Stacy.
All right. Stacy York for the record. This software request will change the way that seniors are able to sign in for our nutrition programs. Instead of using the paper sign-in forms, they will be able to use a computer touch screen. That'll alleviate a lot of paper that we use, ensure that audits are going correctly. Right now, we scan in about 1,000 pieces of paper to the auditor when our grants are being audited. This will take that away and input that data into our tracking system. It'll also create a route for our Meals on Wheels driver for any time that he's out. Anybody can pick up his route and deliver meals. This consistent tracking will provide accurate numbers, which will then reflect higher grant awards in the future. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Stacy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right, is there any public comment?
Bob Hastings for the record, and I'll say Stacy had no idea I was coming up, so this is not a setup of any kind. Prior to coming to Story County, I ran the Dayton Senior Center for 3 years. I'm gonna say about a year, maybe 15 months prior to my coming up here to Story County. Similar software went in the Dayton, well, across Lyon County for all the senior centers. It made things highly efficient, very easy to track things, much easier to get information into state systems, things like that. It was wonderful for our route drivers as far as setting up routes and being able to track how many meals we were serving at different times and everything. So I just wanted to share that I've got experience with software like this, and it does help, and it does cut down the amount of work and time that staff will spend doing those different actions for each month.
So. Wonderful. Appreciate it. Is there any other public comment? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve authorizing the county manager to approve and sign a contract between Story County and Caseworthy for Serve Tracker for data and service tracking for aging services for 3 years in the amount of $30,911.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Stacy. On to item number 15, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible approval of the Story County Resilient 8 Opioid Response Reporting Plan. Stacy?
All right, Stacy York for the record. This plan is a locally developed plan to support the fight against the opioid epidemic. The plan leans heavily on the use of community health workers. Currently, my department and community CHEST will use this plan for current and future funding opportunities. What you see in this plan is work that we've already started, still need to complete, working through. And when I say we, I'm meaning Eric Schoen, Community CHEST, and myself. So this is just a formality to get this plan approved for future funding. I can answer questions. Eric is also in the audience if there's questions I cannot answer.
All right. Thank you, Stacy. Commissioner Gumman, questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No questions. Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Story County Resilient 8 Opioid Response Reporting Plan.
Second motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy. On to item number 16, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action to execute amendment number 3 to the One Nevada Agreement, which amends the list of potential and actual defendants the state of Nevada has identified as having contributed to the opioid epidemic and its impact on Nevada. Brian?
Good morning, Brian Brown, District Attorney's Office. For the record, before you is an amendment to the One Nevada Agreement that we have with the state of Nevada during the process of the ongoing litigation. The state has identified additional defendants to that litigation, and they're contained in Exhibit G to the agreement. And we're asking that the board approve the execution of that agreement that we have with the state. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments about this item?
No, no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the execution of Amendment Number 3 to the One Nevada Agreement on Allocations of Opioid Recoveries.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Thanks, Brian. On to item number 17 is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bring us to item number 18, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to make a conditional offer to purchase the property adjacent to the existing Fire Station 71, located at 175 North C Street, APN 001-094-04, based upon the appraisal dated March 8, 2024 by Mark Stafford Real Estate Appraisers, including approval of opening escrow and completing a title search not to exceed $173,000. Chief?
Yes, good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcart for the record. So, as the title describes, this is the property that is abutting the existing fire station, and it extends to the north to Mill Street. With this property in particular, when we were looking at the Fire Station 71 construction, we evaluated this property. A lot of work was done on it, including the geotech, Alta survey, and appraisals done on this. So fortunately, all the legwork has already been done with this. In looking at the future growth of the fire district and how we're kind of shoehorned in there on C Street where there's limited property as it is, Obtaining this property just opens up so many more doors for expansion in the future. Even with parking, as we increase our amount of staffing, if this lot is used for nothing more than just, you know, staging personal vehicles and getting them out of that area so we can open it up to the public, there's great benefit to just obtaining this property. This one, the county did make an offer on it already that was rescinded. We just essentially took that exact offer that was already vetted, changed the name to the fire district, and we would acquire this under the fire district's name, not the county's. So it would make it our property and allow us just to expand. And I'll answer any questions you may have about this.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Mitchell?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a conditional offer to purchase the property adjacent to Fire Station 71, located at 175 North C Street, APN 001-094-04, based on the appraisal dated March 8th, 2024, conducted by Mark Stafford Real Estate Appraisers. This motion also includes approval to open escrow and initiate a title search for the property with the total purchase cost not to exceed $173,000.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief. On to item number 19, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible approval of the district fire chief's authority to explore and present capital improvement items identified for fiscal year 25-26 and recent needs which are not included in the current fiscal year budget. Fire chief may seek approval to purchase these items using funds from the district's capital purchase fund, provided that the purchases will be received during the current budget year and do not exceed a total of $2 million. Chief?
Yes, commissioners. So one of the unique problems we're running into right now, and it's still part of that supply and demand interruption that happened during COVID, is as we continue to put money into our capital improvement and ordering these capital items, we're still looking at 3 to 4 years out on some of the delivery of these. And not only the ambulances and the engines and everything that we've already got ordered, we still continue to put money in there. We're transferring more money over this year, but it just continues to build and we're not gaining anything. So what I'd like to do is looking at our already approved CIP as well as some of our recent needs is if we can capitalize on purchasing these items now within this budget year, let's get them now while we can. Other ones we may need to order sooner, so that we can just get our name on that list and try to get them in a reasonable amount of time. One of the examples, and I'll kind of use two of them here that we're faced with, is ambulances are still pushing 3 years out. And we've got ambulances in the North District that are pushing 150,000 miles. The odds of them making 3 years is pretty slim. So it's just important to get these purchases made early. Get on that list and try to get them in a reasonable time so we don't interrupt our services. As well, our SCBA compressor, which generates our breathing air in our SCBAs at Station 71, is so dated we're having troubles finding parts to keep it going. That may require the purchase of a new unit, which can run up to $45,000. So as well as the needs already outlined in our CIP, some of our more recent needs have just been coming to attention. While we've got the money in our CIP and we don't see them being expended for another 2, 3, and pushing 4 years, such as the Type 1, I'd like to take this opportunity to present some of my ideas in more of a list format. I don't want to come up here one at a time, bringing every one of them. I can bring them in a list, but if we can get them now and get them paid for within this budget year, that allows us for planning, especially coming up in December. As Jennifer said this morning, we're getting ready to start that budget process again to just go ahead and account for those funds in the next budget year as well. So with your approval, I would just like to, moving forward in some of the future commission meetings, present to you some of the ideas of what we can get now and get your approval and purchase them within this budget year. However, they were unbudgeted for. But I'll take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Chief?
I don't have any questions.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell.
So Chief, is what you're talking about bringing forth new ideas, or are we talking about kind of shuffling things that are primarily shuffling things that are on the current capital improvement plan based on availability and what we think we can get and accelerate into this year because other things are delayed?
That is correct, Commissioner. So for the most part, we're going to look at what we've already identified as needs. So we've identified them as needs, put them in our CIP. But like I mentioned with the SCBA compressor, you know, that wasn't on our radar. Everything was running just fine. Now, all of a sudden, we don't have breathing air for our air packs. So that causes some logistical problems, and we have to shuffle things around and get that air at other stations. So there will be some new stuff, and I'll make sure that I identify that as those items come up. Another one that was brought to our attention was our side-by-side REMS unit. Just based off the side of it, and it's what's stationed out at 72 right now, it doesn't fit in our trailer. And when you make that type of investment, you put EMS gear on it, rope gear on it, you don't want it sitting in the elements. So a way that we can shuffle it around as needed for emergencies would be purchase an enclosed trailer. We didn't identify that early. So that would be just another example of something new that is not identified on the CIP.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I think what, for me, what would feel the most comfortable would be to kind of specifically do this as bringing the CIP back for an update on a regular basis. So it's kind of a living document. So we're still working within the framework of the CIP as much as possible, even if it includes new elements, so that that document is still really guiding our capital purchase decisions. And I know that's kind of maybe a distinction without a difference, but I think instead of casting this as Chief bringing forth new ideas to consider, I think it's just us reviewing the CIP to make sure it's reflecting the situation on the ground. To me, that seems like the right or the best way to approach this. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any public comment?
Can I comment?
Sure.
Jennifer McCain.
Yeah.
Story County Fire District Comptroller, I guess. Mm-hmm. The Chief and I have spoken about this in length. What he's basically asking you to do is give him a limit to purchase items out of budget. The items that are in that budget that we cannot acquire this year still will stay on the list. We'll have to continually fund his capital project fund. But he's asking you to please approve to purchase the breathing apparatus item, for example, as an out-of-budget expense. That's just what I wanted to say.
Okay. Thank you.
So,
Vice Chairman, go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess I'm not understanding the mechanism. If we swap in something that's not budgeted for, but the dollar amounts still stay within the budget limits, is that permissible? Does that throw us afoul of our budgeting process?
It is permissible. Basically, what we submit to taxation and is approved, we don't submit all the details. We say capital projects fund is going to spend $2 million. But for transparency and out-of-budget expenses where Story County is involved, you approved the purchase of an ambulance, for example, for $500,000. He doesn't want to purchase that ambulance any longer. He wants to purchase a trailer for his items. So you need to give him permission to do that, as far as my office is concerned.
Okay. Explicit permission for that specific item, or if we were doing this within the framework of an update to the CIP, would that be sufficient?
To me, that would be sufficient, but knowing that it's out of budgeted. For example, the previous item is an out of budget expense. That would be taking some of the money for said ambulance. So if he brings to you a list, which could be a new CIP that says, here, I want to purchase these things in fiscal year 25, you could approve those as long as they stand within the budgeted total.
Got it. And in the example, what we're anticipating is not that he doesn't want to purchase the ambulance, but that it's not going to happen in the fiscal year that it was foreseen originally because it's been pushed out. So we somehow need to still capture that going forward because it's been approved?
Correct. And he's already ordered all this equipment. So we're it will eventually come. But the fact is he continually orders equipment that we cannot spend money on. He would like to look for items that his department needs, and he can spend the money. Otherwise, he just keeps racking up a fund balance with no way to spend it.
Understood. Thank you.
All right. I'll ask again, is there any public comment? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am, and I'm happy to go with the recommended motion if the other commissioners are comfortable with the understanding that as these items are brought forward, we look at that as just updating our CIP.
Commissioner, if I can just inject, I'd be more than happy to put continual updates of the CIP with the agenda item for your review as well.
Yeah, that'd be super helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. With that in mind, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the district's fire chief authority to explore and present capital improvement items identified for fiscal years 2025 and 2026, which were not included in the current fiscal year's budget. The fire chief may seek approval to purchase these items using funds from the district's capital purchase fund, provided that the purchases will be received during the current budget year and do not exceed a total of $2 million.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. All right, moving on to item number 20, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval to explore the purchase of a building located at 300 Italy. APN number is 005-091-68. Within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center to serve as a replacement for the existing fire station 75. An appraisal will be required to be conducted by the next appraisal service in the county's rotation with costs not to exceed 10 grand.
Chief? Yes, Commissioner. So obviously we've been looking at properties quite extensively out in Tri. We do own one lot already that's out there, or the county does rather, that's slated for a fire station. But In our looking around at locations, obviously we look at what's going to be the most centralized location to serve that park the best. In looking around, we found a building that is partially done at 300 Italy. I listed the APN there for you. And the station, when you at first glance and you look at it, it looks like a fire station. There's 8 bays, 2 stories, so plenty of room for living quarters, kitchen, training center, all those needs of a functioning fire station. As well, it is located on 5 acres of property. Station 75 is, as some of you may know, is kind of our training building. We do have some props down there for live fires. The property this is located on is so much larger, it would allow us to also extend our training facilities, make them bigger, provide more training opportunities. And based on the appraisal, acquiring a structure that is half done with only having to go out to, you know, RFP for a TI or a tenant improvement on that could be a significant cost savings to the district because most of the legwork is already done. So we've went out, we've done several site visits on this, went through it, very minimal modifications of the way the building's sitting right now. And when I say minimal, they've just got 2 poles that are kind of lined up with apparatus bays that just need jogged over a little bit. Other than that, it just needs finished and finished the way we need it to service the way we operate. So the next step in this is not only identifying the property, it puts us within that 5-mile radius of some of our heaviest users of our service. That's going to be a big achievement for the district because our response times right now to areas out in Google and Redwood are horrible. And it's climbing a hill. This gains us a little bit, but it really centralizes the fire station to the park. And it does put them closer. It puts them within the 5-mile response area that ISO defines as that's what we need to be at for the best insurance coverage for these companies. So it really kind of encompasses the greatest part of the park. The next step in this would be simply to get an appraisal. They can say they want so much for it, but we know how that works with acquisition of properties. We do need an appraisal on it to see what the value is. So that is what I'm asking today, is to look into this further, get an appraisal done at it, and see what the value is the way it currently sits. And I'll answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions on this.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of questions. Do we know the? So I believe I did a little research on this property. It was originally being marketed as a commercial center. Is that still what they are working towards? It looked like some of the stuff was outdated. Maybe they were not making the progress they had hoped to. Do we know if that's because that for me is a concern with as many people as we have out there. And this is not directly related to the fire district, but is having adequate commercial services to serve that population. And I think they were calling it the Horse Oasis or something like that, and they were going to build 16 buildings and blah, 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 blah. Do we know if that's still on the table, or have they kind of flamed out?
And unfortunately, Commissioner, I'm not sure their full intent or where they may be going, but I know in process they did go through a subdivision of their property. So they shaved that Horse Oasis, and you are accurate in that. They shaved that building and property down to 5 acres. It was a larger parcel. So whether they want to just sell this and use that money to reinvest on the other properties, I don't know. I'd just be making assumptions at that point.
Okay. I know there's been some conversation about a second station out in the park. Do we have any idea where we're at with that? And just trying to understand the larger picture of how everything's going to fit together.
Yes, exactly. And there still is a need for that second one in the park. This does buy us a lot longer time. As we can see in the park, most of the development is starting to creep further down USA Parkway. Where this encompasses what's already existing, this gives us the coverage we need and buys us years and years and years, in which we may be able to look further out based on development for another fire station out there. But realistically, with the rate of growth, we could really be looking at 10 years now before we're back looking at that second fire station.
Okay. Great, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment?
Jennifer McCain, Story County Fire District Comptroller, for the record. This is an example of one of those unbudgeted expenses, so I need you to know that you are approving something out of budget.
Thank you. Is there any public comment? All right. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the exploration of the purchase of the building located at 300 Italy, APN 005-091-68, within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center to be used as a replacement for the existing Fire Station 75. An appraisal will be conducted by the next appraisal service in the county's rotation with costs not to exceed $10,000.
Back in the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chief. On to item number 21, which is a recess to convene as the Story County Liquor Licensing Board, which will bring us to item number 22, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the second reading for the on-sale, off-sale liquor license. Applicant is Jagmohan Dhillon, Sparks Hotel, LLC, DBA Courtyard Marriott, located at 505 USA Parkway. Morning.
Good morning. Before I proceed, I just want the commission to know that I'm the only representative of the sheriff's office that was available. If you'd like me to proceed with this, I'm more than happy to.
Yeah, we still have a quorum.
Okay.
So we're good. Thank you.
All right. Upon further review of the application, I found that this applicant has operated numerous hotels and had numerous business licenses throughout the U.S. And the items or the issues that were mentioned during the last reading, I found, are not uncommon. These types of things happen all the time. And having said that, I haven't found any disqualifiers. Unless there are any questions, I have no further.
All right. Thank you very much. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Ms. Sherman?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any public comment? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve the second reading of the on-sale, off-sale liquor license. Applicant is Jagmohan Dhillon, Sparks Hotel LLC, DBA Courtyard by Marriott, Reno Sparks McCarran, located at 505 USA Parkway, McCarran, Nevada, 89437.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Detective Valdez. Appreciate it.
And for a moment, second here, I'm blanking. I don't recall if I announced myself as Deputy Valdez with the Story County Sheriff's Office. I think I did, but I just wanted that out there for the record.
Yeah, it's done now, so you're good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. On to item number 23, which is a recess to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, which means we are going to take a 10-minute recess. Be back after the buzzer.